This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
Boy, Mr. Announcer is so excited to introduce me. Boy, I love that opener, especially since it's so happy and it's consistent. We've heard the theme from Carmen for so many years, and yet we are living in what seems like the Twilight Zone right now. And it is an honor and a pleasure to be with you here on Spouting Off, my home show, because I do a lot of other talk radio shows. Some people carry this live, which is wonderful. And we're talking to more networks to carry Spouting Off. So you are on the cutting edge, as we are. I have only one word for what I have been watching and seeing and experiencing, just like you. I'm gobsmacked. That's the only word I can think of. It feels like my husband said, you know, at any moment, I feel like someone's going to knock on our door and it'll be Rod Serling saying you're living in the Twilight Zone. I've been singing, it's beginning to look a lot like Venezuela everywhere I go. I want to slap the guy who said it's a privilege to live in interesting times, because these are a little more interesting than I had in mind. I've been saving up lots of analysis and observations, so get ready. And please, if you'd like to call into the show, call early, because I have a guest at the bottom of the hour. And if you are listening to our program live, I would love to hear your thoughts. I'll be doing a shameless plug. I'll be doing the Randy Corporan show. He calls it Wake Up with Randy Corporan on 710 KNUS, which you can listen to in the live stream. So there's just all kinds of opportunities to hear me spout off. And I like it when you spout off too. So the number is 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Well, I'm going to just get started and see where this leads. And of course, it is a changing, moving target, as it were. And I'll share with you a couple things. We're going to have my friend, Dr. Martina Cartwright, a PhD in epidemiology and in infectious diseases. And tomorrow we'll have my own allergist, Dr. Kevin O'Brien. In both cases, they are infinitely more cautious than I am. And I have to listen to them, at least listen to what they have to say, because they are medical professionals. But that doesn't mean I'm going to believe every word they say either. Both of them I respect immeasurably, and both of them happen to be quite conservative. So I thought, well, let me get the person that I think has the greatest credibility to talk me out of some of the things I'm thinking and see if they can. Maybe they can talk you out of it, but that's the beauty of talk radio. We analyze, we argue, we discuss. And frankly, that leads me to immediately my first question about all of this. Why is it so bad to question and be skeptical about this? The left is suspect, as they always are and have been for the last 3.5 and more plus years, because they demonize anybody who dares to disagree, who dares to question, who says, you know what? The cure for this seems to be a lot worse than the disease at this point. Could well be. We have the country shutting down. We have states shutting down. The operation was a success, but the patient died. Isn't that part of what a lot of people are thinking? And yet, we're not getting a huge amount of information. Some people are buying it. Some people are not. Some people are compliant. Some people are compliant and taking a wait-and-see attitude. Or, here's another analogy. Patient has a headache, so he shoots himself in the head. That's what it's looking like to me. We're being asked to tacitly accept a shutdown of the country, of our economy, our whole way of life, and our freedom, no question about that, which to me is among the most precious of gifts. If we balk, if we question, or we want facts, we're marginalized, we're called dangerous, shamed, bullied, coronavirus truther. Now, that isn't happening everywhere. I have to qualify that. But I see it on Twitter. I see it on the internet. It does come from the left. But what else is coming from the left? Along with the social shaming and the doubting. Oh, how dare you doubt? We have to flatten the curve. And if you don't agree, you're a Neanderthal. Well, I don't know. I've heard that a lot of times before. And I'm not thinking anybody changed. We just have yet another crisis. Now, does that mean this isn't something to pay attention to? Yes, it is. It appears to be. I have asthma, and I'm not exactly 30 anymore. So I'm at some risk. So do I have a personal responsibility to take care of myself, to my loved ones? Of course I do. Does that mean I should be forced into it? In a country I've known to be free my whole life, I'm having trouble accepting that one. And that's why I'm inviting people on who are going to try to convince me. And they're going to try to convince you. Because you see, no matter what we think or believe, I still believe in the American tradition of arguing, discussing, wrestling. I've even thought of that old biblical phrase, of which I'm no biblical scholar, come and let us reason together. Isn't that what we ought to be doing? Reasoning together instead of demonizing anybody who says, you know what? You're asking me to give up my entire lifestyle, my entire business, my freedom, and the country on faith that what you're telling me is something that is absolutely necessary. Pardon me if I don't think there's a problem. Pardon me if I think that's not a problem to question, to disagree, to say, you know what? Show me where that's true. I'd like to understand. When you sign a contract to join a gym, which of course now you can't even do because in Colorado they're closed down, as in other places. When you sign a contract, they give you 3 days out. They ask you, now have I answered all your questions? Are you sure you don't have any other questions? But when it comes to destroying the country, we're supposed to tacitly accept that. That to me is among the most suspicious of all things. You know, regardless, I mean, who knows what is really going on? And I'm not so sure that anybody ought to be trusting these so-called experts either. So the same people who engineered and lost their cookies over Kavanaugh, spun a lie over Mueller, impeached and tried to remove a president without a crime. This is China. But guess who's been doing business with China? And no, I don't think you have to be a conspiracy theorist, because nowadays a lot of the conspiracies we've been watching that used to be have come to fruition. There is a deep, deep load of corruption going on in our government. And many of those politicians, including the presumptive nominee for president, the alert and conscious Joe Biden, has been doing business in China, as has Michael Bloomberg been doing business in China. And they seem oh so willing to, go ahead and trash the country. If they think that trashing the country right now based on a virus from China, which of course you're not allowed to say either because they're taking the side of China against the United States, God forbid we should demonize a country, but we can demonize our fellow citizens if they disagree. I mean, I'm telling you, it's crazy making stuff. And we've been watching this crazy making stuff for a long time now. It's not as if this really came out of nowhere. This is the reason we've been trying to sound the alarm about the growing number of totalitarians on the left who now control the Democrat Party. They're totalitarians. They don't mind if they lay down laws that are preposterous and dangerous. 320 million people being asked to give up their freedom, and we don't know for how long. Here's another thing. I did some research, very, very easy research. You can do it yourself. And this is what we're doing at this point on the first day of spring, or maybe yesterday was, March 20th. I usually don't give out the date, but March 20th is what I'm basing these numbers on. So far, there have been 18 states who have shut down. The real kicker is when they started, and they've gone beyond this now, shut down restaurants, bars, gyms, hair salons. That was the first step. No, the first step was to declare a state of emergency. And I say state of emergency because every state has much more power in this regard than the federal government appears to have. I've talked to lots of several legal scholars telling us that basically they can do whatever they want. Governors can do whatever they want. And we thought we were free in this country, didn't we? So at this juncture, we have 18 states that have closed restaurants and bars, requiring private businesses to do only takeout and pick up food, which is destroying restaurants. They may never come back. And it isn't just the restaurants. It's a whole host of things. Now, of course, we just had a further shutdown in California and New York. And that's what I want to say. And then we're going to take a break. So out of 18 states who have done these drastic measures, 14 of them were done by Democrat governors. The other four were Republican governors. I wonder what's going on in those Republican states. Now, would I be willing to have my mind changed? Sure. But we have to take a break. If you'd like to join us, weigh in, make a phone call, talk to us about all of this that you're going through, the number is 888-627-6008. You're listening to Karen Cataline here on Spouting Off, and we will return right after this.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
So welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. You're welcome to Spout Off here on Spouting Off, if you're listening to us live. So I've just been keeping a diary of thoughts and observations, and then we're going to have my dear friend, Dr. Martina Cartwright, at the bottom of this hour. We may bring her in just a little bit earlier, maybe a little bit before, so we can have extra time with her. among the many things we can talk about is this. I may not get a chance to talk about this on some of the other shows I'm doing, so I want to do it here. And that is, as a social worker, I think a lot about the people that are being forced to remain in their homes, the dysfunctional families and the dysfunctional relationships and the abuse and the neglect that has been tempered by people who work, people who have a functioning life. If you happen to be phenomenally blessed like I am, to be happy as a clam, holed up with my husband, with whom I'm a newlywed, even though we've been together for about 7.5 years, we're newlyweds. And I thank God every day that I live with him and I actually enjoy it, because I haven't always been that way. I have been married a couple times before, as has my husband. And the thought of having been being forced to stay home with one of the other husbands. I was married to someone who was bipolar, and he was totally dysfunctional. Didn't know, you know, all of that at the beginning, but I should have, and we were only married a year. But when I think about being holed up with such a person who couldn't get out of bed, I mean, God love him, it wasn't his fault, but there are just so many dysfunctional families and relationships. We are going to see heavier domestic violence complaints. You may know if you listen to me for any length of time, but I'm a huge fan of live PD. In fact, it's on tonight. I like to watch it. Of course, you know, we're not going anywhere. So we're going to watch live PD tonight, Friday and Saturday nights. They don't need my commercial because they are one of the most successful shows on cable right now. It is it's basically like a visual police radio, but you get to watch police in various cities around the country answer police calls of everything from traffic stops to domestic violence. And because people aren't out on the roads, but they are, there is a tremendous amount of domestic violence and people who are marginal in their mental health. And these kinds of things can wreak havoc with not just thousands of people, but millions of people. My question is, do you know someone who is in a dysfunctional relationship? It's risky, who's in a risky or a dangerous relationship. Not loving the people you live with, could that happen? Oh, yeah, that could happen. So there are huge dangers to what we're doing, and the media is creating massive panic. There's a breakdown of law enforcement already. People are already under stress, and they're panicking. And the media does this wall-to-wall coverage. And I don't know. As I said, I'm gobsmacked by it all. And the question is, what are we willing to give up our freedom for? Are we willing to give up our freedom because we're afraid of getting sick? And the sickness, I mean, at this point in time, and that's why we're going to talk to Martina, and I'll be talking to more people with more shows that I do, simply to say, okay, it's not fatal to as high a number perhaps as typhus, which the left is perfectly seems to be not too worried about in California. In San Francisco, where people are living like they do in Bombay, or they used to, they probably don't anymore, in a third world country, there's people living on the street, defecating on the street. We're seeing diseases that a first world country would never see because, oh my, you know, it's intolerant to say that a person ought not defecate on the street. So we've been watching for a long time common sense be turned upside down. And that's the reason I do some of the talk radio that I do. Because when you see these trends, you're not surprised, but you're deeply upset, I am, when a country disintegrates before our very eyes into tyranny. Now, could we come out of this and everything fine? Sure. Does anybody know for sure? I don't think they do. I don't think they do. I think that the wise thing to do certainly is not to panic and to keep a level head and not go off the deep end on either extreme. We're living in extremes right now. I mean, what I'm watching in the country is extreme. Just before airtime, I pulled up a story of New York. The Governor Cuomo is locking down the state of New York. Wow. Now, you know, in New York City, I don't know, perhaps because people live on top of each other, but they're doing it in upstate New York as well. The entire state is being locked down. What does that mean? I was talking to our illustrative producer who hails currently out of California, and he's saying that travel and movement is being restricted. If you live in Northern California, you can't apparently get in your car and drive down to San Diego or Los Angeles. Since when in this country ever has that been the case? It didn't happen. Restriction of movement, as far as I know, didn't happen during polio. It didn't happen during World War II. It didn't happen when people thought that there were spies in our country, and then our President FDR stuck people in camps, which also was highly, highly suspect. So we have people who are in love with a tyrannical government that are in power. Now, before the break, I just want to make this point before hopefully we bring on our guest, Dr. Martina Cartwright, to continue this conversation. I want to make the point that 18 states have closed down restaurants to in-house dining. Do you have any idea? And, you know, huge numbers of businesses, not just restaurants, but drive-through. It's all drive-through. So if you have a buffet restaurant or whatever, how are you gonna do anything? And that has been extended to 60 days in the state of Colorado. Out of those 18 governors, 14 are Democrat. It bears repeating. 14 out of the 18 governors are taking this to extreme. Why? Because, as David Horowitz says, lurking in, and I paraphrase, lurking in every leftist is an authoritarian clamoring to get out. And that's the truth. There are authoritarians who are being given loads of power, and they are taking it to the highest extreme. We're going to take an extra couple of minutes. In fact, we're going to take about an extra 5 or 6 minutes and welcome on to Spouting Off a real friend of the program. She's filled in for me before, and she is my friend, Dr. Martina Cartwright. She is an internationally known scientist and speaker. She has a PhD and CEO of Beacon Science Biomedical Consulting. She has been an adjunct faculty member at the University of Arizona, and she has more than 20 years' experience in biomedical research, education in infectious diseases, bioterrorism, food safety, I can't read today, nutrition, and neuroscience. And she also wrote the foreword to my book, Fat Lash, Food Police and the Fear of Thin. Welcome to Spouting Off once again, Dr. Martina Cartwright.
Hello, Karen. Good morning or good afternoon.
Yeah, she has such a wonderful voice. Listen to that voice. She's so cheerful. You're so cheerful, Martina.
That's because I shut off the news.
I love it. And you're giving that advice, aren't you? You're giving that advice. Shut off the news. Let's just dive right in. We have some time before our next break. And I want to continue where you and I left off. I am highly suspicious of the level of authoritarianism that's going on in this country, primarily Democrat governors who are shutting down restaurants. And that's the entire state, not just highly populated parts. And I am highly, highly suspicious of the drastic measures that are being employed regarding this virus. As I said in my monologue, and I'm just going to have to pull this up for you super quick, the cure seems so much worse than the disease. The operation was a success, but the patient died. If you're a patient with a headache, you know, so should you shoot yourself in the head in order to get rid of the headache? Tell me where I'm wrong and how you have extra knowledge that maybe we don't.
Yeah, so I don't think you're entirely wrong, Karen. I think this is sort of pandemic 101. And the main thing is that viruses are curious things. They're very small molecules. And you can think of them as having their own unique personality. So, you know, just like a friend that has bad traits, you can have viruses that have very bad traits. And what makes them so virulent and spreadable is not only their size, but their attraction to certain organs in the body. And they can spread in a number of different ways. So they can spread through droplets, which means if you sneeze or you cough in a very closed environment, they can spread quite readily. If those droplets end up landing on, let's say, a surface like a table or anything like that, or if you sneeze into your hand, it spreads that way. And they can live on surfaces for a long time, sometimes days. So because of that, Pandemic Control 101 is to limit interactions in places that have closed quarters, where you're very close to people, and that have a lot of touch points, so people touching your food or your plates or your glasses or anything like that. So while I don't like the fact that things are being closed down a lot, it is Pandemic Control 101 is to reduce space between individuals, so the social distancing, to reduce reproduction of the virus. And a lot of that is based on mathematical models that I won't talk about here, but there's a reason for that.
And I have about 30 seconds, and we're going to have to take a break, and then we will continue this after we get back. Can you wrap that part of it up in about 15 seconds? Remember where you were so we can get back to this, because you're
absolutely
a wealth of information. In fact, why don't we leave it there, and hopefully you'll make a note, because if it were me, I'd forget all about it. We're going to take a break. We're talking with Dr. Martina Cartwright, friend of Spouting Off, former fill-in host when I was gone. And we are going to be right back. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off. We'll be right back. This is Karen Cataline. Are you unsure if your current Medicare plan is still the best one for you? The annual enrollment period is right around the corner. This is the best time of year to review your plan and learn what's new. Anita McAllister is a licensed agent who will guide you through the confusing Medicare maze. Since 2011, she has helped many individuals and couples obtain Medicare peace of mind. Call her today at 970-515-6882 to set up a no-obligation, no-cost appointment. That's 970-515-6882 for Anita McAllister. This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.KarenCataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.KarenCataline.com. Thanks for listening, and if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
My, but he sounds excited, voiceover. Karen Cataline! He's more excited than I am at this point. I was telling Martina off the air. We're talking to Martina, Dr. Martina Cartwright. Her family calls her Tina. I love it. But to me, she'll always be Martina. And she is an expert in infectious diseases. She has a PhD, and she's a perfect person to talk to, maybe give us a sense of level-headedness about all this. But I was talking to her off air about how I went to the store. We had tons of snow here in Colorado this morning, and I thought, oh, it's an ugly, nasty day. I'll get to the grocery store, get a little bit of distilled water, whatever we need, and I'll be home. It was worse than ever because everybody had the same idea. So they grabbed up their car and everything else. And then toilet paper was like, I don't know, four rolls. And we're not hoarding toilet paper, okay? But I think it's interesting that so many people are. And now I think I saw like $8.99 for four rolls of toilet paper. And there was a younger girl, and she said, looks like price gouging. And she looked at me and she said, that's illegal. And I just stared at her and went, oh, boy. You know, we're headed towards uncivil society. And she says, that's illegal. Yeah, so I'm not saying I look down at my nose at her. I'm just saying this is what we're dealing with. And this is the United States of America. And it's looking like Venezuela to me, man. So anyway, you know, people waiting in line like the Soviet Union, and people wonder, yeah, socialism would be fabulous, great, wonderful. Let's get it right away. We were talking with Martina about why we should pay attention to this virus. I'm going to hand it back over to you, and you could pick up where you left off about this virus and what it's like for the layman person who isn't a scientist like you are.
So I think the take-home message is the government probably does know a little bit more about the characteristics of this virus, more so than the public does. And it's because it is a complicated matter, but it's also, you know, not to instill panic. And just like with any kind of flu outbreak, they close schools. So this is a little bit more broad. And I always like to give the reason behind why certain decisions are made. Do I think it's overreaching in some places? Absolutely. But part of it has to do with liability for business. And if you're telling people to stay home, businesses are going to close either voluntarily because they don't have enough patrons or involuntarily because the government has said, the state governments have said, you're shut down. So there's a reason why this is done, and it's essentially because we know viruses have characteristics of replication, in other words, how much they can spread, and one way to shut it down is to prevent people from getting in close contact. So, for example, in New Jersey, they had a tragic case of a family that dined together. They had a family dinner together. Four members of that family died from coronavirus, three adult kids and the mom. And so now the rest of the family members are being tested, so they were in very close quarters. And there may be reasons why they were more susceptible to dying of the disease than other people. We know that it likes the respiratory tract, that it can cause pneumonia. And it's not just a matter of spreading, but it's also treatment. We don't want to overwhelm our healthcare resources because if folks get pneumonia, they're going to have to be put on ventilators many times, and there is no drug to treat this as of yet. And certainly no vaccine would be available for another year to 18 months because it would have to go through manufacture and testing.
Well, so, yeah, but aren't they're speeding that ahead under the circumstances, though.
They are, but they? It still takes a long time to develop. It'll take you at least 6 to 9 months because you have to be able to test your drugs on a certain population, and you have to create enough vaccine to spread throughout the populace. So I do have concerns about this, and this certainly isn't Venezuela, but it reminds us of, A, we don't really trust our government for a variety of reasons, and mm-hmm. B, we need to become a little bit more self-sufficient and be the America that we used to be of my mother's generation. My mother's 94, and living through World War II, people had grit right. then. We were Americans then. We were not bickering as much between one another. We certainly weren't watching this ridiculous, these newscasts that are, frankly, seem to be gleeful in spreading gloom and doom.
Yes.
And creating a sense of panic, so people rush to the stores and buy stuff like toilet paper. My
right.
suggestion would to see if Hillary Clinton's book is on clearance. It would probably be a cheaper form of toilet paper. But that's just me.
Let's back up a little, okay, because you're going down the road that I had intended to, and maybe at the end here we'll talk about it, because I have a list of things that could be bright spots in this otherwise questionable time in American history. And speaking of American history, America has faced phenomenal dangers and tragedies. We had, I wasn't old enough, thank God. I was born after the polio scare, but we had polio. And we had, we watched Ebola, which you've taught me is not as contagious as probably coronavirus is. And you said yesterday when I was talking to you off air, you said, well, I'm not concerned about the deaths. I'm concerned about the contagion. And I'm asking, why shouldn't we be concerned with deaths if the survival rate is so high, or so we think at this point? Are we willing to give up our liberty entirely and to trash the country, to trash our liberty, which to many of us, if you live especially in New Hampshire, live free or die? Are we willing to put 320 million people at risk for a disease that is highly survivable at this point? It doesn't seem to make any sense. Tell me where I'm wrong, Martina, dear friend.
So the thing with different kinds of contagions, and if you're looking at a hospital setting, you have to ask yourself, which is worse? So if a patient dies, that's a tragedy. And I'm going to be blunt, and it may offend some people, but in the hospital setting, many physicians will say a dead patient is cheaper than a live one. And it's not about finance. It's about resources. Look at what's happening in Italy under socialized medicine. They have to pick and choose which individuals go on the ventilator and receive treatment and which ones don't, because the system is so overwhelmed with patients. So while you may survive it, and it may be self-limiting in some cases, what we don't know about this virus, and I've combed the reliable medical literature and listened to what they are saying, from these task force, and I know a couple of those individuals personally, is that we don't know if this is the type of virus that remains in the body that could be dormant for a while, like HIV or herpes, that people retain that virus within their body and that symptoms flare periodically, or if it's something like the flu where you get it once and you're done with it. We don't know the answer to that, at least in the public. Other public officials may know that answer, and that's why they're being so cautious. Because
okay, let me stop you there.
It would be a tragedy. Let me finish my thought here.
Oh, yeah, finish thought.
It certainly would be a tragedy if individuals were carrying a virus that was a lot like parasitic malaria, where individuals get flares of it over time. That's certainly much more devastating to the populace, if that makes sense. So you're concerned more about morbidity and mortality, but in this case, it may be more of a morbidity issue.
Okay, so Martina, and forgive me for interrupting you there. I wanted you to finish your sentence and your thought. But okay, let's just say that we had a very contagious form of malaria, because I know that they are testing malaria drugs on COVID-19. All right. All right. So we don't know. That was key that you said. We do not know. And let's say it was a contagious form of malaria. Would a contagious form of malaria be enough to destroy the greatest country in the history of the world, the economy, the freedom, the Constitution, giving power to governors to shut down movement of individuals? I understand if it's temporary, but we have authoritarians gone mad anyway. That's why 14 governors are Democrats right now who have run amok, and they're already running amok. And you're talking about destroying our country for malaria.
I don't agree with that statement. I think that's a little bit over the top in the sense of destruction, because we're America, we're strong, we'll come back. And this is where communication needs to take place regarding this virus, is that we may not know enough, and we need to reframe the argument and say, okay, we're going to follow the path here of known viruses and pandemics, and we're going to shut things down for a few weeks, and then we're going to open things back up, because by that time, the replication and the spreading of this bug should have stopped. If at that point in time they are not being transparent with us about what they know about this virus and things continue to be shut down, that's when I start getting red flags to say this is more than just controlling a virus. It's trying to control the populace in a way that is not reasonable. Do you see the difference?
Yes.
It has to do with timing and respect for the virus and trying to control it. But thereafter, when you get over the hump and you say, you know what, I think I've got this under control, and they're still closing things down, that's when you really raise some red flags and say, this is an intent to destroy our economy, not to protect the populace.
That is so well put, Martina, and it's so articulate. That's why I love having you on, because many people are feeling obligated to take a position for which they then have to defend. And it is infinitely smarter to take a level-headed position that if information transpires that changes my mind, I'm going to take a wait-and-see attitude, which a lot of smart people are doing, and I'm going to have these kinds of discussions on shows like Spouting Off and otherwise, and get people to talk about what they know. We have about 30 seconds or so. Do you have a thought before we take a break? And we're going to continue with the last segment of Spouting Off. It goes so quickly. Yes, we have about 30 seconds.
I would say shut off the news, or if you watch the news, you watch it with a critical mind. Use your logic, not your emotion, to decide how you are going to manage this as well as your family. Don't panic. Watch other people's behavior. And just be very mindful about what you do on a daily basis to protect yourself and your family, and be reasonable.
She understands talk radio. She knows we have time issues. We've got to run to a break, but we're going to be right back on Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. Stay with us.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
This is Karen Cataline. Are you unsure if your current Medicare plan is still the best one for you? The annual enrollment period is right around the corner. This is the best time of year to review your plan and learn what's new. Anita McAllister is a licensed agent who will guide you through the confusing Medicare maze. Since 2011, she has helped many individuals and couples obtain Medicare peace of mind. Call her today at 970-515-6882 to set up a no-obligation, no-cost appointment. That's 970-515-6882 for Anita McAllister. And welcome back to Spouting Off, my home show. That's because it's my show. Karen Cataline with you, talking to one of my very favorite guests, Dr. Martina Cartwright, who's a specialist in infectious diseases. She was also my roommate at CPAC, which we found out also there was someone who tested positive at CPAC. I don't know if we came into contact with him. Actually, I had a more likelihood of coming in contact with him than maybe Martina, because welcome back, Martina.
Thank you.
Because I went to that Shabbos dinner, and that's where he was. He was from New Jersey, and he's recovering fine, it appears. We're going to shift gears a little bit, though, and I wanted to find out if you can imagine the presumptive nominee Joe Biden handling this as well as Donald Trump, and what do you think? Who knows? I'm going to say this in jest. This is tongue-in-cheek. All of this is so Joe Biden doesn't have to debate. You think?
Oh, I think that's funny. You know, could he debate anyway if he showed up, if he even knew where he was?
Exactly. Exactly.
It's just such an embarrassment. When you look at the array of so-called Democrat candidates, and I know a lot of people call them Democratic, but there's nothing Democratic about them. They're Democrats.
Nope.
And Biden, half the time, he doesn't know where he is. And I have friends that call Trump a clown and that he doesn't know what he's doing. And I said, really? So you compare that to Biden, who frequently gets his wife and he got his wife and his sister mixed up. He doesn't know which state he's
in. Hey, you know, Martina, you have to give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he had just seen the movie Chinatown.
Maybe so.
Okay.
Maybe so. We don't know. We don't know.
Okay. Yeah, he's definitely something is going on. And because you watch this sort of stuff, it sort of comes and goes with him, right? But it's getting worse and worse. He has some kind of dementia going on.
He's got something going on. And they used to tease Ronald Reagan because he'd fall asleep in meetings. And, you know, towards the end of his presidency, he may have had early signs of Alzheimer's at that point in time. And I'm not trying to make light of if he has Biden truly has a medical condition. But the point is this really who you want to be president? Do you want a weak, socialist-leaning nominee? And I know many people in the country do. They think that's, and I think that's an excellent lesson of this whole thing. If you don't like long lines at your doctor's office and you can't get in, you don't like long lines at the post office, limited supplies, and so on and so forth, then don't vote for a socialist, because that's what you're asking for. Especially with Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, well, a couple things. I don't think that there's all that much difference between Biden and Bernie. And the reason they wanted Biden so bad is so they could say, oh, see, he's a moderate. There's nothing moderate about Joe Biden. He's a plagiarist. He's plagiarizing whatever position will get him the nomination. But the other comment I want your thoughts about is that every time I look at Joe Biden and the fact that he does have what appears to be not so early onset dementia, but some kind of dementia going on, is all the things that they accused Donald Trump of. He was mentally ill. He was unfit to lead. He was corrupt. Was Biden corrupt with Hunter Biden? Everything they accused Donald Trump of, their candidates actually did. There's no evidence that Donald Trump, in fact, every evidence after they get through giving him the proctology exam, proves that there was no evidence, no hard evidence at all. Otherwise, they wouldn't have had to put up six attorneys, academics who had no actual knowledge of any wrongdoing that Trump did. That was what their witnesses were. So, you know, just comment on that, if you will, the fact that every time they accused Donald Trump, it is of something that they've done.
It is, and it's a double standard, and it's a classic deflect type of thing. It's like, remember when you were kids and you may have argued with your brother, I know what you are, but what am I? I know what you are, but what am I? It's kind of like that. And yeah. It's a deflection, and it's very disingenuous. And that's why people distrust the government, because many of us can think for ourselves. I have a friend that watches CNN frequently, and we get into heated arguments, and he'll say, well, what's the matter? You don't like the truth? And I said, there's nothing truthful about what they are so-called reporting. And yeah. it's really corrupted people's minds. If you think that, if people think that Biden is the best candidate, it's clear to me that he is incapable of handling anything. Whereas with Trump, people may not like his personality, but he knows how to run a business and he knows how to run a country. And I have
no
problem.
I love his personality.
I do too. I think, and that's what we voted for. That's the kind
that's
of guy
right.
we want.
A
tough,
shaker-upper.
Scrappy guy that knows yeah. what he's doing and how to run a business and how to run and how to be firm in a crisis. Notice yeah. the people he's selected to manage this corona thing. He's picked people that know about how to manage this, and he's not trying to manage it himself. And that's a quality of a great CEO.
Yeah,
delegate
he was such
to the
a,
people that understand.
Yeah, such a dictator. Again, another thing they've accused him of that they're doing. You, as you were talking, it made me think about compliance. And you said, you know, do we think for ourselves or not? Are you surprised at the level of compliance with all of these outrageous rules and regulations and shutting businesses down? I mean, as I keep saying, there's nothing like this in American history that I know of, that governments, governors and other politicians can say, because of this, you have to shut your business down. Do you think that in 20 or 30 years ago, people would have been so agreeable to do that?
You know, I think it's,
yeah.
it's all in the approach. So 20 years ago, we didn't have 24-hour news cycles. And what drives people's right. behavior many times, especially in a time of crisis, is fear.
Her line is dead. Hopefully she's all right. I'm sitting here going, hello, hello, hello. Weirder things have been known to happen. Where I was going to go with Martina at the end of this show, and I think she would have had a lot to offer, maybe we'll get her back before the end, is the bright spots that could happen from all this. If I'm going to whine and complain about all these things, which I think it's totally, totally reasonable to whine and complain about politicians that we have not trusted to begin with, telling us how to live our lives and that we have to stay in our homes. I mean, you know, restricted movement feels like the Soviet Union to me. Is this, I have a bullet point list for you. This is either globalism's last stand or, God forbid, its first stand, and we don't know yet. Look at the people who are learning homeschooling. Maybe they won't be so against homeschooling when they realize that the government isn't there to educate their children. Maybe they have to. What about secure borders? When the left tells us that we have to shut down our businesses, but they don't want to shut down the border, and Trump is doing it anyway because that's under his jurisdiction, I think the people who thought that the wall was a terrible idea might be looking at it in a slightly new way. Might be saying, wait a minute. You know, if I can't move or drive my car from Northern California to Central California, and my own government is restricting my movements, maybe we shouldn't ought to be having illegal aliens coming in through our borders, north or south, that are unvetted. We don't know where they came from. We don't know if they're terrorists. People have been screaming about that for a long time. Suddenly, it makes a whole lot of sense. How about seeing the wisdom of law-abiding citizens having the right to defend themselves? You know, in Colorado, there were 10,000 plus, requests for concealed carry permits and background checks for buying guns. I mean, that's stunning. I have a whole more list, which I'll have to wait for. How about prayer? We are going to have to wrap this up. Prayer is something a lot more people are doing when they are confronted with crisis, when there's a lot of uncertainty, and there you go. So God willing, we will come out of this. We'll come out of it together, and hopefully you're doing well. Thanks to HiQ, the man behind the glass. Thanks to HW, the multi-talented guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week, live Fridays, when we will be having a whole lot more to spout off about. God only knows what will happen next week here on Spouting Off.